The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
We welcome you back, second hour, and we'll head to Washington in a few minutes. Ross Dellinger was in Congress again today, listening to the Senate debate in IL. We began with Heather Dinich in Chicago at the CFP meetings, and Jacob is up next. How are you, Jacob?
Hey, Paul. This is Jacob from Gainesville, Florida. How are you?
Great to hear from you again. Thank you.
Yes, sir. So I was calling because, like, while I am in favor of expanding the playoff, I also think that it has a chance of greatly diminishing the regular season that's so great and exclusive to college football. So what do you think about that?
I understand that argument, but to me, others have pushed back, Jacob, and said by expanding the pool, you make more games important. I think you could, if it's like, debate, yeah. you could take either argument, and they're compelling reasons. I don't think we'll know until we get there.
But like what you said, you probably won't see as many players that once their team gets their second loss, like opting out, maybe. And because those 7-2 games versus 7-2 can still be important, because there's definitely times where 2 and possibly 3 teams, 3-loss teams, will make the playoff if the 12 team model goes through.
To me, Jacob, if where it really is important is if you have like one of these epic games in November. The loser of that game is not done yet, so there's an incentive to finish the season. Too often we see a case where there's one of these titanic games, a loser just packs it in, and you start seeing players bailing out. There's still an incentive to get into the playoff, and I think that is one of the compelling reasons why it may help the regular season. Rick is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Rick.
Hey, Paul, long time no speak. How you doing?
I'm okay. How about you?
Pretty good, pretty good. I like Jacob's call.
He's really good.
Put the worries of the day aside, I was sitting in my chair listening, watching TV with my grandkids, and I get this message on my phone from Google. And it says, Paul Feinbaum takes another shot at Clemson. You shooting your cannon in Southwest South Carolina again?
Yeah, I don't know what kind of Google alert you had there, but this is.
Only used on Greenberg.
Okay, it's really amazing what people can say and how it's interpreted or maybe misinterpreted. I'll go ahead and say this, but yesterday I was on with Heather on Get Up, which is Mike Greenberg's show on ESPN. And Greenberg asked it's what I would call a trick question. He said, of the three leading contenders for the CFP, Alabama, Ohio State, and Clemson, which one of those three do you think is least likely to make it this year? So that leaves you only three choices. No matter which one you pick, you're going to create some news. So if I said Alabama's not going to make it, I'm sure I would still be answering the question. State, I would. So I chose Clemson. And the reason I chose Clemson was because of the Georgia game. And I think a lot of people have interpreted that as me saying Clemson's not going to make the playoff, which is not exactly what I said. But I don't want to argue with myself.
Well, I thought it was funny. I read it. What in the world?
Knowing how some fans are so thin-skinned, I may keep doing that. So I think I'm going to – every week I'm going to name another team that won't make the playoffs.
There you go.
I should have said, Rick, Clemson's going to get in the playoffs and get blown out again like it has the last 2 years. Let's continue. Wendy is in Ohio.
Hi, Paul.
Hey, Wendy.
Hey, the John Urschel, he's a former Penn State lineman, not Ohio State.
Oh, okay.
And I was wondering, are they going to do the same many years, you know, this playoff? You know, is it still the same amount of time or?
Well, we don't know yet because it is, Wendy, it has not been approved yet. It's just being discussed.
No. I meant meaning the committee. Are they going to do the same amount of time or is it going to switch?
I don't know if the committee will change or not. I frankly think the committee needs to get perhaps a little bit larger with, you know, it's one thing to select four, 12 might take a little more work, but again, I'm just a talk show host. The people at the CFP rarely, well, how about never consult me on what they do. Chris is up next in South Carolina.
Man,
hey there, Chris.
Paul, my man. How you doing,
Chris? I am doing great. What about you,
man? I'm doing good. I'm doing good, man. Paul, you know I call in every now and then talk to you, but all the times I call is really when you're talking about Clemson, because I mean that's my team, and I understand that. Yeah, we did get blown out the last 2 years in the playoffs. One was in the national championship game, and the other one was planned to go to the national championship game. So I just don't understand why y'all want to take shots at us. Where you gonna put some respect on our name, Paul?
Hey, Chris, listen. I just speak the truth here. I mean, why are you Clemson people so thin-skinned?
Nah, we ain't thin-skinned. Why? All right, okay. Ask this for me. Why haven't you picked the game yet, then? Why haven't you picked go ahead and pick Georgia?
Well, it's Chris. It's June 17th. The game isn't until what? September 5th.
September 4th.
The reason I never would pick a game this early is September 4th. I don't know. JT Daniels might be injured. One of Clemson's top players could be hurt. I mean, I have no idea. That's why. If you bet on football, which I know nobody does, you don't make a bet. You might make a prop bet, but you're going to wait till the week of the game. See what's happening.
Yeah, I understand that, Paul. I understand that. You got a good point.
Chris, if you put a gun to my head, and I'm hoping you won't, I would pick Georgia today.
You're picking Georgia, but
I said Paul, I would.
Paul, all I'm saying is, Paul, everything I need to know about Georgia defense is when y'all got excited to get our ex-cornerback. If that's the best thing y'all got in the secondary, man, we got wide receivers in every position. That one cornerback ain't gonna stop anything.
Hey, Chris. Chris, did you see the Clemson defense last year? Did you think they were elite?
Hey, he was a starter out there.
Well, I'm just saying, I was not impressed with the way Clemson tried to shut people down last year. I thought they were pretty bad for an elite team, not for a ACC run of the mill team, but. I mean, that did not look like the Clemson team I had seen two years earlier.
All right, Paul. I guess we got to wait till September 4. Have a good day.
Okay, man. Didn't mean to leave an unhappy customer, but these Clemson fans, I mean, it's July. I mean, Clemson, go do something, okay? I don't mean to start a war with the Clemson nation here, but very thin-skinned. You take a whipping from LSU. I mean, just a thrashing, and you would think you'd learn how to behave. And then Ohio State just beats you silly last year. You lose at Notre Dame, and you lose your savior quarterback, the greatest quarterback in the history of mankind. And you would think you might get a reality check. But Clemson fans, and we got a new quarterback. We'll just strap it on and same old arrogance. We'll be right back. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hey, we welcome all of you back. One of the mainstays of this program lately has been talking about NIL, and nobody better than Ross Dellinger from Sports Illustrated. Yet again today, instead of waiting outside of conference offices interviewing commissioners, he's hanging out at the United States Senate. Ross, thank you. Great to have you back. Afraid to ask about today because this was supposed to be a big moment when athletes start testifying, and maybe this was what would get everybody over the top. But I'll let you fill in the blanks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. It was certainly a unique hearing today on Capitol Hill. One of the more unusual, I guess, that I've attended. Republicans. For the most part, did not attend the hearing. They decided because of when or how the hearing was scheduled, that they would not attend. And it just speaks probably to the frustration level in negotiations for a bipartisan NIL bill, a federal bill. And how those negotiations are going. As we've reported now for a while, the negotiations have slowed, and there's certainly hurdles in a compromise. And I think it just speaks to that, what happened today. I don't know where we go from here, because after the hearing, a couple of us reporters met with Senator Maria Cantwell, who's the chairman of the Senate Commerce Committee, who has jurisdiction over the issue, and she made it pretty clear that, you know, Congress was not going to have a congressional bill ready by July 1, which we kind of all knew. But she made it, you know, a statement pretty much on the record. So now we go into next week with the NCAA prepared to pass their own NIL law, and 19 states have already passed their own, and so it's going to be a little messy for a while.
So, you know, Mark Emmert, of course, wanted somebody else to do his work for him. That may not work out. So what happens next week, Ross?
Yeah, the NCAA will almost certainly pass their own NIL legislation, and it'll kick in. I think I've heard the only thing they've changed in the legislation, which we all know, Paul, and you know, they were supposed to pass in January. They put it off because of some issues with the Department of Justice and Supreme Court and everything, so they put it off to now. They haven't changed much in that legislation from what I've heard. There's not a whole lot of differences from the legislation that we saw then to now. And if that's the case, the legislation will, you know, go to effect July 1, and schools and states that have an NIL law, state law, will follow that law. Everybody else will follow the NCAA's legislation. And the states have different legislations. They differ from one another, although not tremendously. And also the states differ a little from the NCAA's own legislation. So is it going to be as chaotic as people say? Probably not, because the legislation isn't all that different, but it will be different. and some places will have a little bits of disadvantage or bits of advantage. You know, if you're an athlete at a school with a state law that allows you to wear your logo, your school logo, in a commercial deal, guess what? That's an advantage over an athlete whose state doesn't allow that, or an athlete whose state doesn't have a state law, because the NCAA legislation does not allow that. So there are little things like that.
Ross Dellinger with us, who spent the morning and part of the afternoon in Congress. Ross, let me get to another story you did this week, which was just fantastic. Y-12 worked 2 years of secrecy in the making of a new playoff model. I mean, you really dug deep, got behind the scenes, which is what journalism is supposed to be about. Tell us something that we didn't know. So take us through your story and what you learned and how this almost didn't happen.
Yeah, it was interesting. I made it a point to try to get a hold of all four of the CFP working group members in a matter of about 3 days. So I thought that was going to be very difficult, and it was. But I ended up getting them all, and they each told kind of a story about how this all happened. And I thought there were a lot of kind of incredible points. One of them was just how they kept a secret. They kept two different items secret. You know, one of them, they kept it for 2 years, that there was a working group examining playoff exploration or expansion. Yeah, so that was one thing. They kept that quiet for 2 years. And then in March 2020, they basically came to a consensus that the number of teams in their expanded bracket would be 12. And they kept that secret for over a year, that they had come to a consensus. So that was pretty interesting. I went over a lot of the discussion with them, and they went deep on it, including Greg Sankey. Yeah, you know, we talked to Greg for over half an hour about this Monday, and he was great and went into detail about some stuff that maybe sometimes Greg doesn't go into detail on, but it was a really good interview. And one of the things he and others have said is they actually studied keeping it a four and then choosing, selecting the teams not until after the bowl game. So you'd actually have potential playoff participants competing in bowl games, and then you would select the four. So that was one model they looked at. They looked at a 2014 model briefly, Bob Bowlesby said, briefly. So I don't think they gave serious consideration to that many teams. And then, of course, eight teams was kind of a model I think that a lot of them had in their mind as a favorite going into these discussions. And they looked at two specific 8-team models, Paul, and both of them just didn't work. One of them was the best eight. Right now we have the best four, basically. And they looked at taking the best eight. The problem with that is it just didn't grant access to enough of the country, specifically the group of five. Probably wouldn't have, certainly no guarantee access there for the group of five or even the Pac-12. It just didn't guarantee access to all of kind of the regions of the country, I guess you might say. And then the other 18 model was very similar to the 12-team model they put out, except instead of six at-larges, it was two. And as Greg Sankey said, you know, we would be going from a playoff that was four teams at large, like it had down to having two at large. And he said that would be counterintuitive, really. And so they moved away from that. So, yeah, there were those were some highlights. You know, the secrecy of it was interesting. And then obviously some things they batted around a little bit, some models they toyed with before they settled on 12.
And Ross, I mean, how difficult was it for these people to be working on this and at the same time be out there really talking about it? And you mentioned Greg Sankey and others, you know, almost defending the 4-team model while they were privately working on a 12-team model.
Yeah. Just think about the interviews, especially Greg Sankey, right, has given over the last year. If in March 2020 they came to a consensus that 12 teams was the one that they were going to recommend. Think about all the interviews he did defending four teams. And I'll say this, he still is defending four teams. You know, in the interview with me, he mentioned we're not to the finish line yet with the 12 team. And if they can't smooth out some issues with the 12 team, which we know there are issues, right? There are contracts and such. Then four teams, he says, has worked, will work. And so, you know, a lot of the men in that room had to make some compromises in this deal. I mean, none more than probably Jack Swarbrick with Notre Dame. Being an independent, they're not. He agreed to the provision that they would not, any independent would not be able to ever have a bye, have one of the first round byes, because they're not, wouldn't be a conference champion. And Greg himself certainly made a compromise. You know, his team, his conference is doing just fine with that 14 playoff. But he thought for the betterment of, I think he had a good quote in my story. It was, you could be, you know, he said the SEC was known nationally as this outlier against playoff expansion. And he said we could be a contrarian, or we could kind of assist in the future of college football, or have a say-so. And he decided to have a say-so and not be a contrarian.
Ross, before you go, and this seems to be mumbled out there, but you talk to the players, so you may know more than we do. You clearly know more than we do. What are the odds of getting this in place in 2 years versus having some of the same issues pop up and drag this out until the end of the contract to satisfy some specific needs of various bowl games or conferences?
Yeah, you know, all signs kind of point to a 2023 date. Certainly that's the earliest that can, it could happen. But there are contracts, right, that have to be renegotiated. The CFP contract, there's seven of them, seven independent CFP contracts, six with the bowls and one with ESPN. And of all those, the, quote, sticking point, as one commissioner put it, is the Rose Bowl. It likes its January 1, 5 p.m. Eastern kickoff time. And in a new, you know, 12 team in this model, or the CFP model, they're not going to always get a January 1 afternoon date in time, because it could move. The quarterfinals could be on January 2 if January 1 is a Sunday. And every year they're not going to be a quarterfinal. There's, you know, the Rose Bowl might not be a quarterfinal. It might be a semifinal, which is the end of January. So that is a big issue. I think the biggest issue, I asked one of them, what is the biggest issue, of biggest obstacle standing in the way of this? And it is. It's the Rose Bowl. And so that's something to watch. But there are a lot of contracts, a lot of negotiations still to be had. But look, Paul, this working group wasn't working 2 years on this model, which was kind of administered by the presidents themselves. They're the one that triggered all this, wanting it to be expanded and wanting the working group to explore this. All that's not going to happen. You know, they're not going to waste 2+ years of this and just say, we're not going to do it. So I believe it will get done. There's just a lot more to go here, especially with these contracts.
Ross Dellinger, what a time to be alive and to be a lawyer. Ross, thank you very much. Great to have you with us from I've lost track of what we're talking about, from Sports Illustrated. Thank you, Ross. Great stuff. We will take a break. More to come. Bruce Feldman from The Athletic at the top of the next hour on the upcoming college football season. Cole Kubelk later on. We are coming right back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back, and we've had many, many guests. We have a little bit of time right now for your phone calls, so let's check in with Mitch, who is in South Carolina. Hello, Mitch.
Hello, Mr. Paul. How are you today?
Mitch, we are doing great. Thank you.
First off, I can't go without saying this. Please tell me a fandom that doesn't defend their school to the 10th degree, and I'll show you a fandom that's used to mediocrity. Every successful school, their fans, when they are not spoken well of, their fans get very defensive. Alabama is no exception. Georgia is no exception. Jerome, yesterday, you pointed out to him that Nick Saban's not going to be there forever. He wanted to argue you down. So, that aside, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for just being the person you are, that you allowed me the past 2 days to speak an opinion that probably wasn't popular with your viewers and probably may have not even been popular with you, but you at least allowed me to do it, and you listened to me, and you gave me the space to do it, and that is why, once again, I feel so comfortable saying that you make me feel welcomed and you make me feel at home.
Well, Mitch, thank you for saying that, but I thought what you said and have said the last couple of days is really important, and I think you know why. You've already lived that part of your life, and you expressed that, but there are a lot of people currently who are going through it, unfortunately, and I think, you know, when you speak out about those issues, I think you're helping those people, and I know you well enough to know that that means something to you, that you could potentially help someone have a better life because of some of the misfortunes that you have encountered.
I know the voice has been muffled for too many years, and no one knows for sure who may be right, who may be wrong in a lot of these cases as far as, but for too long, the perpetrator or the accused perpetrator was the one given the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
And the victim or the accuser, whichever word you want to use, was basically made to feel ashamed or made to prove that they're a victim. And I just think that's no longer acceptable. It should have never been acceptable to begin with, but it's no longer acceptable. And when you're in a position like some people, you like a couple of coaches we're talking about, and I'm sure there's more, but when you're in a position of that high of esteem that you can help somebody and you turn your back on helping them, that's almost twice as bad.
No, I think it is. It really is, Mitch. I'm not even sure I can formulate the right words to describe someone who if the way it turns out to be true, what Mo Schembech or may have done. I mean, I'm not going to try to equate it to someone else who did it, but there's not much difference in my mind.
I'm sorry. Legacies are legacies, but when you've got also a legacy of victims after you were told or you found out about the situation and you didn't stop it, your legacy, to me, as far as being a good person, stopped right there.
You're right.
You
yeah, there's no argument.
Deal with that the rest of their life.
Absolutely.
But anyway, I just wanted to thank you, because there's not many people with your podium, that would allow me to do that. And thank you so much. And you know how much you mean to me. I don't have to tell you. And your audience means that much to me, too. So thank you so much.
Mitch, thank you. You be well. We'll talk soon. Randy is up next. Hey, Randy.
Hey, Paul. Second time caller. Just a couple things here. I've been a Mississippi State fan my whole life. Yesterday, I didn't get a chance to call in, but there was a lot of talk about Notre Dame and this, that, and other. And I just got a few comments here. Notre Dame came in Duty Noble Field and put on a hitting display, but they bit the dust. Second thing, Sonny called in yesterday from Mississippi, and he was sounded distraught, and he said he had some concern that Mike Bianco might be the new LSU baseball coach. Well, as a Mississippi State fan, Paul, we love Mike Bianco being the Ole Miss baseball coach. Great guy, great baseball coach. But, Paul, what do you go play college baseball for? To go to the College World Series. Ole Miss has been to the College World Series 5 times. The last time was in 2014. Mike Bianco has been at Ole Miss how many years, Paul? 18, 19, 20 years?
Yeah, I believe he's gone once.
Been to Omaha. One time in 18, 19, 20 years. So, Paul, you look like a guy that's got a nasty slider. If he was recruiting you, what would you say?
I think you always have to, when you answer that question, you have to, I mean, if my dad or grandfather played at Ole Miss, that might solve that issue. But if I'm just a great pitcher in another state or somewhere else, and I'm looking at 5 or 6 schools, I'm looking at schools that are in contention every year.
Absolutely. One last thing, Paul, and I'll let you go, and thank you for your show. What does Omaha stand for? Ole Miss at home again.
Okay.
Have a good day, Paul.
Thanks, Randy. Never thought about it. Red Dog is up next. How are you?
Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
We are doing great.
I was just calling back as a good old Georgia guy to answer some of the whining that you've been hearing, and just remind a few folks, you know, the last time we played Clemson, I'm a dog, and the last time we played Clemson, we beat them 45-21. And, you know, I don't know why they think there's such a shock. They're sitting here in the odds makers. It's not just the Georgia people. The odds makers, ESPN, and everyone else has got their first game picked at a 3-point deficit. And as you said, everybody's waiting to see who's injured and who's not and all that before we play. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if by the time we tee off, Georgia will be favored in that. And it doesn't matter. It's going to be done on the field. But I don't know. I mean, you know, if we're considered to be a toss-up, why is it out of the earthly realm?
Yeah, you know, I just think that Clemson fans are becoming entitled. And, yeah. I mean, they need to get over themselves.
I mean, you know, truthfully, there is one team. That could have a sense of feeling entitled, and that's Alabama.
Yeah, I don't want to take anything away from Clemson. I mean, they've won 2 titles, but they have thrown away more titles than I can remember. And, I think you have to be realistic about the trajectory. They're not as good this year as they were last year or the year before. And, you know, they're basing everything on a young quarterback who is all world, but he still hasn't done it yet. And he'll have to do it. Hey, thanks for the call. We're up against a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Just a minute. Let's grab some more phone calls here. And Robbie is up next in Asheville. Hello, Robbie.
Hey, Paul. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I'm sure you're probably tired of talking about the playoffs, but couple things. One thing I think we need to consider is if we could add another home game, I think that would be very helpful for the fans. Because if you think about it, adding the semis where you have to go to a bowl location is another game for fan bases to have to travel to, which is, it gets very expensive to go all the way to the national championship game from there and go see a team. For instance, the Orange Bowl this year is on New Year's Eve in Miami. So try to get a hotel room in Miami on New Year's Eve, and it's astronomically expensive. I'm pretty sure they won't consider that, but having the fan or two on the committee might bring things like this to their attention.
No, Robbie, you've raised a really interesting point. I have not heard anyone bring it up until now. So if you're a college football fan, and I'm talking about average fans, you might be able to afford to go to one or two games a year. So now you do that,
right,
and now you have a conference championship game, which, you know, if you're in the SEC, you want to be there. It's an amazing experience.
Right.
Then you may have to try.
Yeah.
You know, then if you're an elite team, you have a conference champion. You may have a first round game. If, let's say you're a Florida fan, you may have a first round game at Wisconsin. The first round, you win that. Mm-hmm. And you're chasing. Then you're going to, you know, one of the. It is a very expensive deal. You're right.
Yeah, and then like the NBA was looking at usage. I think that they need to increase the scholarship, and for the NFL teams, I'd say the same thing. Add a few more players to the roster, because teams may during the regular season start to really try to manage player usage because of the increased workload on the players. And that could dilute the regular season if we don't maybe add some more bodies.
No, but the other side of all this is that college football in many ways, and here's the truth, not some PR statement, has outpriced the average fan anyway.
I
remember a couple of years ago when we were out in San Jose. I mean, the idea of getting from Alabama or Clemson to San Jose, mm-hmm. California, it's not like it's a major destination spot. It was extremely expensive. It was a long way to go. Mm-hmm. It was a terrible place to go, by the way. I know that sounds like it's a great place to be in January. It wasn't.
Georgia was there in 2018. And
it was terrible.
To get to the stadium is crazy.
Yeah, no, it was...
in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, no, it was... I would rank that, and forget the loss. I mean, I don't dictate my stay on what happens in the game. It was one of the worst college football experiences I've ever had. First of all, I think it rained for 3 days, and the temperature was 40 degrees. You could not literally, for 3 days, you could not go outside. We did a couple of shows outside.
Right. But do you not agree about the player usage?
No, I agree. But I will also tell you this, though. It's not going to be a big issue. And I'm not being disrespectful to your wishes there. But we're in the billions now. And unfortunately, there's just not much you can do. I mean, it's hard enough for an average fan, you know, those of us who love to go to games, can ticket themselves into it like it is. Lucas is up next in Florida. Hey, Lucas, go right ahead.
Hi, Paul.
Hey there. What's up with you?
Nothing much. How are you doing today?
We're doing great.
Good. I just wanted to talk about, you know, Florida football, just because, you know, having Emory Jones as their quarterback, a young quarterback, but experienced, how do you think he'll do this year?
Lucas, I think Florida's going to have a really good team and a really good record. I think the record, though, is going to be misleading. I see them losing two games. Unfortunately, I see them losing the two biggest games on the schedule, which will be Alabama and Georgia. Is that going to be enough? I don't see Georgia going to the championship game. We're up against a break. Bruce Feldman will join us in a couple of minutes. More of your phone calls after that.